This is Coach Jason Skeel, softball and powerlifting coach at Adrian High School. You're listening to the Iron Dread Podcast.
Be like water. And then we had a conversation in class about, like, well, what does that mean?
All right, first of all, if you have the extra blue cheese. If you don't have extra blue cheese, don't even bring the plate over. I like the forearms more, you know, than the biceps. Mm-hmm. Put it right in, pull it right out. You get two bones. If you do it right, you do it right, like in New York, you only have two bones left.
Yep. With Notorious B.I.G., again, top tier. The dude was unbelievable. His lyrics, his flow, and his influence, I think, on the rap game, the hip-hop game at that time was unparalleled.
Whether it was a hokey story or not, but during the 2016 Olympic Games, I remember the commentators came out and they said, you know, this may be quite an interesting thing this year. The javelin Olympic champion in 2016 in Rio was a man who, when he was, at least this is how I remember the story, he said, well, how did you learn how to javelin? And the guy says, YouTube.
Yeah, that's where I kind of stumbled onto it. I was trying to see how Mike Allstott trained, because this dude was a freak. And I figured if I could lift like him, I could do the stuff he does. So I kind of, that's where I started researching that and found out that he was using chains. And then that kind of led me, kind of stumbled on some articles from Dave Tate and Louie.
The mentality of it, they feel like the guy across from them is faster. So they got to get their hips turned so they can mirror them and play more basketball. It's like, no, stay strong, use your strength and body, punch, sit down, and control the guy across from you. Because if he's faster than you, he's not stronger than you.
Oh, bone? Yeah, that's a little bougie. That's a little bougie. Yeah.
Buffalo-style chicken tenders.
Yeah. That's no good. That's out. That's soft. That's soft.
If you can't enjoy going to work, you shouldn't go there. You know? If you can't enjoy the people that you're around, you know, that just isn't something you need to be a part of. It's toxic, in fact. So, you know, you just have to move on.
You know, we're kind of all a sum total of everything we've done. But when we bump into each other's lives, no, we don't really know what that is. But I love finding out about people's stories.
You are listening to the Iron Dread Podcast.
Here we are, back live to record the Iron Dread Podcast, episode 72. We have one of our student athletes for spotlight today, Mr. Dan Del Duca. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, glad to have you here. Dan, also known as the Duke, Daniel Del Duca, senior here at Dexter High School, getting ready to wrap up his high school career here in a few weeks, and we're going to send him off. It's one of those things where Dan's been a big part of our program as we've developed here over the last few years, and you know, he's a hard worker himself, but he also helps others. So I wanted to get him on here. This has been I've been advertising this podcast, Duke, and there's a lot of people that want to hear what you have to say.
All right.
It's one of those fun things, and we'll chat it up with Dan a little bit. We're trying to do this in between classes here during Dan's lunch period. He's got to get back. What AP psychology?
IB psychology.
IB psychology.
About 20 minutes.
About 20 minutes, we got to get him back there. So we'll try to be quick. And you know, that's the thing with Duke. You heard he's taking an IB class right now. He is a great student. And tell the folks where you'll be attending college in the fall.
I'm going to go to the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, the College of LSA. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to study pre-med to be a doctor someday, probably orthopedic.
So. Yeah, the Duke is going to be Dr. Duke.
That's right.
Soon enough. And it's he waited for his acceptance. He was waiting his time. He knew he had the grades. He knew he had what to do. He was a hardworking guy, and good on the University of Michigan for getting you in there and getting you going. So you're a multi-sport athlete for us around here.
Yeah.
Tell the folks, what have you been involved in throughout your athletic career?
So I've done, in my high school career, I was a wrestler, football player, and powerlifter. So really all the meathead sports that I can think of, you know, big strength, physical ones. I did track when I was in middle school, but the most part it's been those three.
And the whole time you've been doing those things, you've always been in the weight room. You've always been training, and you've always been doing the right things as far as preparing yourself the best you can. What motivates you to get in there and train in the Iron Dread program and be strong?
So, I mean, I view it because no one's ever always motivated whenever they walk into the gym, but I view it as a investment in, you know, I don't really do competitive sports anymore, I guess, although I could powerlift, but in those sports, it was an investment to perform better, and it's also just a big health investment because it's wildly underrated, but strength or resistance training, strength conditioning is very beneficial for your health, especially as you get older and, you know, your joints and bones start to deteriorate.
For sure. Strength is never a weakness, right? I stole that line from Mark Bell, and I think that is true. And we do, through strength training, reduce our chances of injury for sure. Yes. Sometimes though, we're not lucky. You've battled with some injuries. What have you went through here throughout your time?
So I, in my sophomore and junior year seasons of football, tore my right and then my left ACL, and I, you know, had to get surgery on both those, and I also am missing a part of my meniscus, my lateral meniscus on my left knee. So those are we're not very fun, but I mean, you keep pushing for.
Yeah, you gotta just keep pushing through, and yeah, that was you know, as a strength coach, anytime any of our guys run into some bad luck with injury, man, it's tough on me for sure. But I can't imagine, I've going through it twice. You and I have talked before. You know, I had my own ACL issues in college, and going through it twice, man, it takes a mentally tough individual to be able to come back from that, not once but twice. And that's a testament to you for sure and what you're able to get through there. Our next thing here, Duke, since we've learned a little bit about you, we have our speed set questions.
All right.
Okay, and these are, you're familiar with how we train. These are rapid fire questions that kind of get us talking about stuff. A lot of times they get spun out of whack, and we wind up branching off in a conversation, and that's that's okay too, right? But we'll see if we can answer them quickly. Some of them might spark some conversation here for us here, and let the folks at home learn a little bit more about the guy we know and love here in Daniel Del Duca. I think we already know the answer to this based on where you're going, but go blue or go green?
I mean, go blue, obviously. Come on. Listen, I don't hate the go green. All right, my brother goes to state, but I mean, I would have to say go blue. So
go blue, amen. Your favorite movie?
That is a tough one. I don't have like a favorite movie, or a, you know, favorite song or something like that. But I think when I saw it in theater, it was just something about how emotionally captivating it was. Creed 2.
Mm-hmm.
That was just, I don't know, it was something to watch. So,
have you seen all the Rocky movies?
I have not seen the fifth one, but that's like barely even canon. So, I mean,
yeah, Tommy Gunn. Yeah,
I've seen the important ones.
Yeah. It's those movies, and it's starting with the first one, right? Sylvester Stallone,
yeah.
You know, a hero to children everywhere. When Rocky comes from the bottom, and all he wanted to do, he didn't even want to win. He just wanted to go the distance.
Yeah,
he didn't even want. He just wanted to show everybody that he wasn't a failure. That he was going to be able to go the distance with the best in the world. And who knew that would spin off into what it did? And then, you know, then the Creed films, I mean, most cinema and TV, and then we're going to talk about TV next. It's like there really isn't a lot of original stuff. But some of these things where they're doing spin-offs of stuff we already love, I think really captures our attention.
Yeah, I would agree. And one thing that came to my attention recently is I think that the Rocky franchise, including Creed, you know, it's part of the Rocky universe, is maybe the most consistently good franchise that there is. I mean, all things. Obviously, Rocky V, garbage, terrible.
Tommy Gunn.
yeah, I mean, like, Sylvester Stallone literally gave it like a 0 out of 10 in like some interview, which totally agree.
Yeah.
But like, all the other ones are at least good.
Yeah.
You know, so like, I mean, look at Star Wars, let's be honest, you know, some shaky ones. But like, Rocky is very consistently good.
For sure. I 100% agree. And even like the Creed movies, and I think this is like this with any form of entertainment, right? It makes you feel something. When I watch a Creed movie, like at the end, you're like, and you know, I'm not going to spoil it for anybody that hasn't seen it. But it made you feel emotion at the end of that movie.
Absolutely.
Or just as you go, not even just at the end, as you're going through the movie.
Yeah. And one thing I would say to, like, Sylvester Stallone obviously isn't in Rocky or in Creed 3, but it actually doesn't need Rocky in it. I mean, I know that's pretty shocking to say, but definitely would recommend that.
Well, because they established the characters, Michael B. Jordan's character, what's his name? It's Creed.
Adonis Creed.
They established that character, and now we care about him, right? Before, we might have just started watching it because we cared about Sylvester Stallone and Rocky, but now we care about the Creed character. So, awesome. Great franchise for sure. So, you said you don't really have a favorite anything, but what's a TV show that catches your eye and makes you want to watch it?
I've always loved, like, the David Attenborough nature documentaries. I've always been a big nature guy. So, I mean, like, historically, probably, they're not really series typically, but, I mean, I kind of consider the whole thing sort of, in a way, a series. But I've been watching Queen's Gambit recently.
Okay.
I think that's pretty interesting. I know I hadn't watched it, you know, and like a lot of people watched it a while ago, but that's what I'm kind of into right now.
I feel like I've seen commercials for that.
Yeah, you probably did. Queen's Maybe Gambit. Not anymore, but you probably saw a bunch because it was huge.
Was it on FX? No.
I don't know. It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix now.
Yeah.
Hey, that's where I've seen it.
I think it opened on. I think it's always been on Netflix. I'm not sure though. It actually got a ton of people into chess, which is why chess has never been bigger.
Yeah. So I think I've seen commercials for that on Netflix or whatever. It's centered around chess. What's the premise of the show? Like, without spoiling it for anybody, like, what's it kind of what's it about?
So the premise of the show is like the main character, what's her name? Beth Harmon. Yeah, Beth Harmon. Mm-hmm. She's a just chess prodigy, and it's just like her journey, I think, to the top. I haven't even finished it, but and also another thing is this takes place in the 60s, which at this point, you know, chess is a man's game, right? It's not, so it's also intertwines a lot with you know, gender roles and social roles in society, which, you know, is interesting.
I might have to add that to my list here.
It's just seven and about, they're all about an hour episodes. So
hour long.
It's not a huge investment time-wise.
Okay.
Or at least for a TV show.
So. And you're saying you're in a nature documentary, so like the ones that we watch on like the Discovery Channel with the English guy, we see here.
Yeah, yeah.
The Nile crocodile sits and waits as the water buffalo inch its way closer.
Yeah, I've always loved those. My parents will attest to me, even if I don't remember it. I've always watched those and loved those. So
I mean, to me, they are interesting, and sometimes the camera work on those is, you know, one of the things, like if I buy a new TV, one of the things I'm going to put on is like Planet Earth or something along those lines, because some of the way they capture that and the colors and whatnot, even without the narration telling you what's going on, just watching these animals interact in their environment undisturbed by the people being there and videoing them.
Yeah, I mean, it really is incredible. I've watched, and I remember, you know, I still think about it, but like since I was, I don't know, like 12, and just being like, how did you film that?
Like, how did you, you know, the tigers, you know, killing the guar or whatever, you know, a sambar. But anyway, it's like, I just don't understand how they got that shot, you know.
I would imagine it has to be with a long lens from a long ways away.
Yeah.
Or they're really good at hiding themselves. But it does look cool. And you said you're a nature guy, and I happen to know that you spent some time and you're active in the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, so I'm an Eagle Scout, and part of you know, scouting is it's not complete unless you've gone on high adventure trips. So that's been a big part. I went to the Virgin Islands this past summer, which that was pretty cool. With snorkeling, saw stingrays, barracuda, sharks, everything. Went to New Mexico for backpacking and whitewater rafting in West Virginia. You know Laurel Caverns?
I think you've told me about it.
It's like 50 miles outside of Pittsburgh. So that's been really, really special for me.
Yeah, I remember when you went on one of those trips. And it's a, like, for people that don't know, like, I mean, I've never done it myself, but I've had enough kids and gone through it. Like, Eagle Scout, to make Eagle Scout is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, certainly is.
Like, there's a lot of things that go into it.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work too, especially the Eagle Project.
Mm-hmm. And what was your Eagle Project that you did?
Yeah, so it was building for Howell Nature Center. It was building a 16-by-8-foot bird blind for viewing, not for shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, hunters. But just a big educational thing because a lot of Howell Nature Centers is educating kids and just also a lot of photography opportunities because it's got this really great backdrop into a pond, and it was just a lot of work.
Yeah. But
very interesting also because it's the first, like, it was like my first like business interaction where it's like you're working between two parties to build this thing, and it was really useful for me, just learning all that stuff.
So any of our local folks, if you find yourself out there at the Howell Nature Center and you're in that bird blind viewing the birds, you can thank our boy, Mr. Del Duca here for that. All right. So our next thing is, your number one hobby. I mean, I like to train, but what's your number one hobby?
That is a good question. I guess I'm not, I would probably be training in physical fitness, but I don't necessarily view that as a hobby, just something I like to do as much as something I do enjoy it, but it's something I need to do. It's not negotiable.
Yeah, it's something that has to be in your life.
One thing a lot of people probably don't know is I write poetry.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that about you.
You did?
I didn't. You never told me about that.
Yeah.
And just any particular topics, just when something comes to your mind, you're throwing it out there, or?
So I don't restrict myself as far as topics wise. I usually, metaphorical poems are. I mean, it's for anybody who doesn't know, that's basically when the words on the page, maybe you're talking about a mountain or something like that, is representing something else, like a personal challenge in your life. That's usually what I do, but as far as topics, it just whatever I want to. And I have started something fairly recently. I write one a day, even if it sucks, even if it's it's only two lines. I don't want to break the chain. What I mean?
It's a habit, right?
Yeah. So,
And do you keep those personal? Do you share those out? Do you have like a blog or social media that you share those out on? Or
I don't share them. I mean, if people wanted to read them, I'd let them. I mean, I don't. Not really many people have asked, but I'll just write it on whatever piece of paper I got. And
you could put those. I mean, those things sometimes come together into a book. I know a guy that you'll find interest in him for sure. His name's Swede Burns, and Swede was, when I went to Elite FTS for the Learn to Train seminar, he was the Elite FTS coach that was working with my training group. So we went down there, it's probably 3 or 4 years ago now, I went down there. And he was in charge of our group, and they went over how they teach the squat, the bench, the deadlift, and we went through everything and learned all that. The cues that we teach in the weight room, the air, neck, brace, squat, that comes from Sweden. And he also has a published poetry book.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely crossed my mind. I think I need a little more content first, but yeah, I mean, I've definitely thought about that. I think I will someday.
We'll have to we'll have to make sure that we get you set up with Swede. We'll see if we can find his book for you and get that. Okay. Now this next one, you and I have talked at length about this next topic. Yeah. Okay. There's some people that come on here, sit in that chair, and besmirch one of my favorite food items, and that is the chicken wing.
Yes, I mean, chicken wing, listen, if it is the, like, barbecue thing, it is the centerpiece. Like, chicken wings are, there's no replacement for them, okay?
They have to. Chicken wings are ideal. They are a blessing bestowed upon us from the heavens on high. Yes. And the question I have for you, Dan Del Duca, is how are you ordering them or making them if you're making your own? And what are you dipping them in?
So I get garlic parmesan. Personally, I just, the coating of, you know, just richness, flavor is just, and I don't actually dip them at all. You know, the famous Corey Baker made me dip it in ranch one time, and it was horrible. So I just...
We're going to pause right there for a brief word from our sponsors. And the first one is JockoFuel.com. Jocko Fuel and Jocko Willink, I can't say enough about his products. I'm a user of his products. I have his Mulk protein powder, the Jocko Go pre-workout, the Jocko Greens for my daily green superfoods. I can't say enough. Not only are the products effective, but they are clean sourced food items. They fit in with any diet, anything you want. And again, this is a company that I personally use and I personally endorse, and they gave us a promo code of IronDread10 to get 10% off at store.jockofuel.com. Another product and partner of ours is Pit Boss Grills. In our show notes, you'll find a link for Pit Boss and check out all of Pit Boss's specials they got going on for this month. It is May. It is May right now, guys. It's getting in the grilling season, and I'm planning on smoking a large number of pork butts this coming weekend on my Pit Boss 1100 Pro Series. You too can join the Pit Boss Nation. Visit the link in the show notes to get yourself a deal on a Pit Boss grill. We also like to thank the Chelsea Retirement Community and the Cedars of Dexter, two elderly care facilities in our area, and Mr. James Kelly for their continued support of the Iron Dread program and the Iron Dread podcast. With that, we have Chef B's Catering. My guy, Chef Mark, knows how to get it done. If you're looking for a caterer for your next event, hit up my guy, Chef B, and tell him you heard about him here on the Iron Dread podcast. The Emergency Vet Hospital of Ann Arbor, another supporter for our 2023 campaign here. When your pet is in need and you need emergency care, head down to the Emergency Vet Hospital of Ann Arbor if you're local here to our Ann Arbor area. Constant supporter of Dexter Athletics in all aspects, all sports, is Ryan Mackey, Coach Ryan Mackey, and Ryan Mackey Photography. In our show notes, you'll find a link to his Facebook page. Check him out and support Coach Mackey. He does a lot for our kids and our families by taking quality photos that allow people to remember their time here at Dexter High School and the athletic arena for a lifetime. Coach Mackey does this at many times free of charge, However, he is available for paid bookings as well. Visit him at his Facebook page in our show notes. Born to Mow, you need your grass mowed, live here in the area, hit up Born to Mow. Their website, borntomow.com. Again, you can find the link in the show notes. And last but not least on our 2023 sponsors, Jet's Pizza of Dexter. Need I say more? If you're in the Michigan area, you love Detroit-style pizza, hit up Jet's, especially if you're here in our Dexter area. Head on over to the one right here in Dexter on Ann Arbor Road. Dexter Ann Arbor Road. We're back. Experienced a little bit of technical difficulties. Had our ad drop in there. Talk about our sponsors. Thank you again to all our sponsors. But before we had our break, Dan, you were discussing chicken wings and the time that Corey Douglas, Horatio Simons, Edmund, any other aliases of his I'm forgetting?
Leon. I think Alfonso, probably.
Leroy.
Oh, Boris, of course.
Boris, of course.
Leroy, yes.
Leroy Jenkins. Mm-hmm. Baker made you dip your wings in ranch. You were discussing how terrible that was.
Yeah, so what happened was he was like, just try it, man. And of course, I mean, that's fair, right? I was going to try it. And I had my crab dissection in marine biology class earlier that day. This is going to be important later. And I was pretending it was going to be horrible. I was like, when I was, you know, going to try it. And I was like, this isn't going to be that bad. I mean, it's going to be fine, right? And then when I put it in my mouth, it was actually horrible. I was like, it tasted like my crab dissection smelled. Okay? And it was, I had to drink and get a drink and then use the bathroom and just get away from that wing. It's horrible. Horrifying. Horrible.
It wasn't the way it was intended to be.
Yeah, no. I guess ranch, it probably can work better with some stuff. I mean, I wouldn't do it anyway, but not a fond memory.
Yeah, it's Midwest people, like, you order it, they're bringing you ranch unless you ask for blue cheese. But that's not the way it meant to be. My friend Tim Sommerlad from New York City, Monroe Woodbury, he says, doesn't have blue cheese, don't even bring the plate over.
Yeah, I mean, gotta have blue cheese.
Gotta have blue cheese. So we keep going right along with our speed set questions. Our next one for you, Mr. Del Duca, is your favorite exercise to train?
So, I mean, it would have to be the bench press. It's what I'm best at. I mean, it's probably it's the most popular, I think, of all exercises. And, I love it. Another close second for me is overhead dumbbell presses, because I'm also really good at those, and I don't know, just training shoulders is a lot of fun for me. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, bench press is king.
So. Oh, everybody loves it. How much you bench is always the big, big question.
So at States last year at a competition standard for powerlifting, I benched 320.
One of our top benchers in our entire program, Mr. Del Duca. And that's how you kind of got started in the powerlifting. When you were coming back from your second ACL, we would enter you in meets bench only.
Yeah. That's how we did it. And I will just say right now, I have the school record currently, regardless of weight class. I did it at 194. Mm-hmm. Somebody's going to break that soon, though. That's a good thing.
Yeah. We hope that somebody will get there. But yes, you do have the highest bench press in a competition in our school. And, you know, there are many guys that want to talk like they can come and challenge that, but they didn't step on the platform.
I mean, yeah, there is some guys who definitely could have beaten, who could have that school record right now for sure.
Yeah, I can think of a few that are in your grade that decided to not step on the platform this year and get after it. Next question is your favorite sport to play.
Well, I mean, football is my favorite. It didn't really treat me very well, but I mean, that was always my favorite sport to play.
Sometimes the game will do that to us, man. It's one of those things where there's no feeling like playing football. There's nothing like going out there on a Friday night and playing football. And you can go and play lacrosse under the lights or soccer or any of that stuff. But basketball, baseball, there's nothing like high school football. Friday night, you're playing your rival. The stadium is packed. To me, there's nothing like it, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking this during our last season. Like, it is, Alred is the center of the community, mm-hmm. and during the fall, I mean, like, that's where everybody is on a Friday. I mean, like, how many people are, like, 7,000 in Dexter? And like, yeah. I bet half of those people are at the game, at least. So.
Well, I think they were talking about when we were going to play Celine. They were worried about having enough seating, and enough capacity in the building, or in the entire facility, I should say, to fit all the people. Like, there were all kinds of rumors and numbers floating around of how many people were slated to come to the game, because they have GoFan now where people pre-purchase their tickets. So they have some numbers to work off of. We have a rough idea of how many people are coming to the game. And there was quite a few. And they got to see a show that night when we won our first SEC Red title, league title. Yeah. Your favorite sport to watch, if you're gonna go as a spectator, as a fan.
I mean, it's also gonna be football.
Not pro wrestling.
That is not a sport, okay? But guys, that is not a sport. It is an entertainment business, okay? It's not a sport.
I knew that we'd get a good reaction out of you on that one, because I am a fan of pro wrestling. As our listeners know, they go back, and there's been many, many pro wrestling references.
Horrible.
Mr. Del Duca is not a pro wrestling fan.
No, well, because I'm a wrestler, like an actual wrestler, you guys. So I wouldn't have anything against pro wrestling. I think if it didn't have the name wrestling, because then when people say wrestling, they don't think of the sport wrestling, I think of professional wrestling. Which, mm-hmm. You know what? I respect your taste in pro wrestling.
Well, because we've talked about what makes it interesting, and what makes it a reason why to watch. Right? It's telling a story. It's like a movie, and telling a story when they do it right. But yeah, that's why a lot of the like the WWE, though, they became World Wrestling Entertainment. And they'll refer to pro wrestling as sports entertainment, not pro wrestling. And I don't really know if I like that name either. To me, it's still pro wrestling, but when done right, yeah. But I mean, football, watching football too, I think that it's a part of the experience. And you're getting ready to go to Michigan in the fall, so I'm sure you'll be attending some games in the Big House. Have you ever been before this coming fall, when I'm sure you'll go to a game or two?
You know, I actually have not been to the Big House for a game. I've been to a college football game before, but I've never been, and an NFL game before, but I've never been to the Big House, so that'll be fun. I just could never, I don't know, I'd rather watch from home without having to deal with all the parking stuff, but I mean, if I'm going to be a student, I'm going to...
Yeah, you could just walk. You could just walk over there, and for some reason you don't have don't get tickets or whatever. I know a guy that's got season tickets, and that can help you. I actually know a few of them, but I know a guy that's got season tickets that can help you out. So the next thing, we talk a lot about wings, and you are a man who loves the culinary arts, food. I know it's going to be hard for you to pick a favorite food, most likely, but we can start the food discussion now.
Okay, are we saying like favorite food is in one one food, like steak, chicken, or like a meal?
It can, anywhere you want to take it. If you have a favorite meal, let's go meal, because you are a connoisseur. You're gonna set the table or set the plate, if you will, for everybody to really think about and enjoy what you're eating, what your pick is here.
So if I know price, I guess constraints, I would just definitely a surf and turf. I would probably, I would have to have a lobster tail steak and medium rare, not medium. Anything above medium rare for me is, well, medium's okay, but medium rare steak, lobster tail, and I'd probably add shrimp in too.
Can't go wrong.
Then as far as the garnish, I don't know, I guess vegetables is probably some mixed vegetables or something like that. And probably mashed potatoes. I feel like that's a good combination with that. How about you?
Garlic mash?
Well, garlic mash is, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's, obviously, that's a great, I would definitely chow down on that. For me, I go through like different kind of phases with what I'm really, really, really eating, and a lot of it centers around what I've learned to cook, right? So you and I have discussions all the time about cooking things. You're a big sous vide guy. Yep. And we'll talk about the sous vide here in a second. You can have a chance to sell sous vides to our listeners out there. But for me, if I like favorite meal, like you can't go wrong, like you said, with a good surf and turf, a ribeye, a New York strip, or a sirloin. Back in the day, our Saturday night meal, when I was a kid, and if my parents are listening to this, which I hope they listen to this, help me out, mom and dad. But my parents would make, on Saturday nights, especially in the summer, would make super thick sirloin steaks. And like, when I mean super thick, I mean my dad would go get them. He knew the butcher, and they would cut sirloin steaks, had to be close to 2 inches thick, if not more. My dad would cook them, and my mom would make linguine and clam sauce. So linguine pasta, a clam sauce, like a garlicky clam sauce with baby clams in it. Little Parmesan on there, man. You're sitting big time, Charlie. After you're eating some steak and linguine and clam sauce.
I think bivalves, like mussels. I don't really have oysters, but mussels and clams are highly underrated in my opinion. I know there's not a big yield and it doesn't really look appealing if you just look at it, but the flavor, it's like bullets of flavor. Especially with steamed garlic, you add all those flavors, man.
Yeah. And when I was younger, we would do big, you brought up lobster in yours. Mm-hmm. We would do big lobster and clam bakes at our campground. So everybody would come together. They would get a torch and a brand new clean steel garbage can and fill it with water, cook lobsters in it, cook clams in it, just put the big basket in it and cook it. Great times.
That does.
Great times sitting around the table eating, for sure. Recently, I've gotten into, when I mentioned this to you, I think, making my own pizza dough.
I did not know about
that. I didn't mention it to you?
No.
I'll have to bring you a slice one time. So me, like, I'm a big, like, if it fits in your macros, calorie, macro tracking kind of guy.
Yeah.
Because I like to eat. So I'll get off the rails really fast, right? The, mm-hmm. That 300-pound offensive lineman, still lives here, right? Right now, about 285 as of this morning. I've been down to 230, in that range. Gone up and down a little bit. Didn't want to be 230, and I wasn't a strong, 230. I just started going on the elliptical and got too lean. But anyway. I like to try to keep myself between the rails a little bit. So if I'm going to have something like pizza, if I make it myself, not only do I enjoy it, but I know exactly what's in it. I know what I put in the dough. I know how much I portioned it out. I know exactly what I'm getting into, as opposed to ordering it from a restaurant and you can guess, but you don't know. Mm-hmm. So, but it's been fun. I'll have to bring you a slice of the my take on the, and those from around here know Thompson's Pizza in Chelsea. My take on their pickle pizza.
Oh,
telling you,
that sounds horrible, but I will try it.
You try.
I'll give it an honest chance. You know, because why not?
Yeah,
I like pickles.
It's not bad. If you like pickles, it's good.
It's
an interesting mix for sure. Spicy ranch.
Good.
Right, they use jalapeno ranch over there. Bacon, pickles, cheese.
All right.
Take that crust, put some cheese around the edge, fold that crust over, you got a stuffed crust, little garlic powder, garlic salt on the crust. Can do it. And I tend to cook that on my Pit Boss Pellet Grill. Pit Boss, the official outdoor cooking sponsor of the Iron Dread Podcast. Find a link in the show notes to go and get a discount on Pit Boss. Yes, all of you at home,
yeah,
go buy a Pit Boss. With that being said, I don't think that Pit Boss makes one of these, but tell the folks about a sous vide.
So what a sous vide is it's that's a French word, I think. But anyway, but it's a temperature modulated water bath that is used to cook food. So, I mean, it's very simple, but you just need a water bath in this machine that will circulate and heat water. And you just pick the temperature. Wait for it to heat up. Once it heats up, you can, it can be a Ziploc, but you usually want a vacuum sealer and just vacuum seal. It's gonna be, you're gonna do meat in it, really, to cook it to the temperature you like every time. Now, of course, you need to sear it still, if, like you're cooking a steak, but it's a great way and pretty low effort way, as long as you plan it out and you have time to cook food the right temp every time.
Yeah, and you've told me, and I've heard from other people about it too, like it comes out nice and tender, slow cook.
It does.
Dan and I were talking about this the other day, and I actually was on Amazon looking at sous vide, and then I found out that Instapots have a sous vide button, some of them. However, after further review, my Instapot does not have a sous vide button. So I may have to pull the plug and try it, because I've heard so much about it. Maybe Pit Boss will make one, and then we can, you know, get a discount on a sous vide. All right. Well, our next thing is we're gonna get into music. Any other food topics that we need to talk with the people about here?
I mean, I could gush for hours about it, but we can move on to music.
So what is your favorite music genre to train to?
So for training, I don't really have a favorite genre. Or for just listening to casually. I mean, I can listen to rock. I like Linkin Park. I can listen to rap. I mean, country, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, like, obviously I have song preferences, but as far as the genre, I don't really, it doesn't matter as much to me. Now, one thing that music genre I like that most people don't, which I don't know how, but anime music, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty much mostly just instrumental, but it's awesome. And they take music seriously over in Japan, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think if people like got over like, oh, it's anime, mm-hmm, it's very enjoyable.
Well, it's like almost, if I'm understanding correctly, if I'm thinking about the right thing, it's almost like a techno.
Well, yeah, I mean,
instrumental beats. You know,
different genres, but usually it is more electrical and techno. I would say typically, yeah.
About the closest I got to anime was Dragon Ball Z.
That is an anime.
Yeah. That isn't?
It is.
It is. It is. Yeah. That's about the closest I got to it. But I mean, I mean, it's. I know that there's a very, very big crowd of people that enjoy that. My cousin, shout out Allison Black, my cousin. She probably won't listen to this, but
shame.
Maybe she will. We should shame her. Right? She's a nurse in North Carolina. I know she's huge into anime, and I'm sure she knows exactly what you're talking about right there. If you were going to suggest one for people like myself that have never listened to any anime music, what would you suggest that they listen to?
So the best soundtracks for the best anime that has the best soundtracks for me is Attack on Titan. It's a very popular one. It's, I guess, it's pretty approachable just watching it for a Western audience if you're not even in the anime sphere yet. But as far as, it's got the best soundtrack of any anime I've heard. So.
Okay. And what's the premise of that? Like Attack on Titan, like I would think like there's some sort of, giant that is having to fight, or what's the premise of the whole thing?
Yeah, so I mean, a lot of stuff's revealed, so I'm not gonna spoil it. Mm-hmm. But for anybody who has not seen it, but basically, humanity is the rest of humanity is behind these three walls that basically are, you know, like 50 meters tall or whatever, which equates to, I think, like 160 something. I'm not gonna try to do the math here, but very tall walls,
mm-hmm,
that keep out titans, which are humanoid, but they're kind of giant zombies, basically, and they eat people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically surviving and fending them off and trying to eventually expand beyond the wall because, you know, they're just stuck behind.
Don't want to be behind walls. The wall anymore.
Yeah. And this happened for like 100 years, but that's where it starts, and then it builds. And
okay. All right. So Attack on Titan is your pick there. So what our tradition here on the show is whenever we have a guest, they get to pick a weight room song of the week. So they get to pick a song that goes onto our Spotify playlist, our Iron Dread Weight Room Song of the Week playlist. If you had to pick one song to put on that playlist for people to, you know, kind of get fired up to and jam out to when they're training, what would be your pick for that?
So, you know, my favorite song is Secret Garden by Bruce Springsteen. Now, I don't know that most people are going to get fired up necessarily by it, but for me, it is a song that, like, I feel when I hear it at peace and more just, like, calm and focused. So, and by the way, when I lift, I'm not really a big, like, getting hyped up, and I'm not, you know, fire like you see like Larry Wheels whenever he sets a PR. He's like, I don't really do that, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just that's my favorite song, and I think people could get some out of it.
Secret Garden. That's a Springsteen song that I'm not familiar with, but I'll check it out for sure. You said a couple good things there. You know, like some people, like, it's not about cranking the music up and, you know, getting slapped before you take a max effort lift. Others they kind of need that, right? They kind of need that. We got some of our football guys walking by, seeing the Duke in here, recording the podcast. Others, you know, you just kind of getting yourself in the right headspace. Right? And a lot of times, I enjoy music, of course, and, you know, a lot of us do, but a lot of times I think some of our kids get so caught up in what music is playing that they use it as kind of an excuse to not train hard.
Well, I think a lot of people are going to find any excuse to not train hard. I mean, you're always going to have one.
Yeah.
So.
Always.
I mean, I always, like what I've said, I think I said earlier in the podcast, is you got to make it non-negotiable. It's not your choice to work hard or whatever, because there's always going to be a reason in life why you can't do this, that. So,
yeah, for sure. So we'll add that song to the playlist, the Iron Dread Weight Room Song of the Week playlist, sponsored by Crank It Up DJ Service and Line Dance Instruction. Secret Garden, Bruce Springsteen is Mr. Del Duca's pick. Remember, look in the show notes and you'll find a link to that playlist on Spotify. Make sure you subscribe to that as well, and you get updated each time we add another song to it. We do have some people. I have gotten some feedback that people do crank up that Iron Dread Weight Room Song of the Week playlist and train to. I think Trevor O'Brien, if I can remember correctly, our athletic trainer, former guest, former athletic trainer here. I know he listens to it, and my buddy Tom Fossil out of Marlboro, New York. I know he sent me clips before where he's listening to the Iron Dread Weight Room Song of the Week playlist while he's training and getting after it. So we'll add that to it. And I know Bruce Springsteen, for sure, is one of the favorite artists of a former guest, Coach C.T. Chatham from Newburgh Free Academy. Newburgh Free Academy, arch rival of my Kingston High School Tigers. And I interviewed the head coach. I had the head coach on the show. Look back in the episodes and you can find that interview with Coach Chatham from a while back. He's a great guy, and I know he loves the Boss. You know, they used to play it in the stadium.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a typical Bruce Springsteen song, but I love it.
Hey, you can't go wrong.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with the Boss. He talked about when he picked the song. I forget which song he picked by Bruce right now, but they were a big running team. They were a wing tee power football team. So they would play Born to Run on loop in their stadium by Springsteen. So all right. So the next thing, and because I look at I have these pod decks, right? And some of you, our listeners, you've heard me reference these before, and these are completely random. And there are a couple different decks here with different things. Would you rather, or just regular interview questions, and the one that I want to throw your way is we'll do one or two out of the What the Heck deck. Because some of these will just be completely out in left field. Sometimes I open them up and go, yeah, we can't talk about that one. We can't say that one. And then we'll kind of wrap it up because we got to get you back to your class. And I thank you for your time with this. Okay. What the heck, Dan Del Duca, have you ever licked a battery?
No, I have not.
How else can you tell if it's got charge on it?
I'm not... Battery acid, like there's no what? Okay, come on.
Hey, back in the day, that's what you used to take a 9-volt, put your tongue on it. If it shocked you a little bit, you knew it still had some.
I have power. A test. I don't even remember what those things are called, but I test the charge with a tool, not my tongue.
not your tongue. Not your tongue. All right. What strange thing would you like to happen at your funeral to make people laugh?
Huh.
Probably something you never thought about before. Again, yeah. This is the What the Heck deck.
I mean, I've thought about it. I think my funeral is just going to be like a party I would want, you know? It's like, I mean, just have some fun, man. But as far as a funny thing, I mean, I can't say that. I will have to think about that. Any bodily noises when like it's a very serious topic, that'd be pretty funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean,
it's what the heck. Sometimes it's completely random. And again, I did not preempt Dan with these questions.
Of course.
So sometimes you're gonna have that where. Where we're not going to really know. Let's do this one as the last one, and we'll move on. Have you ever accidentally texted the wrong person, and how did it turn out?
You know, I don't know that I have. If I did, it was not like a consequential thing. I've never texted any, racy stuff or anything like that to the wrong person. So anything controversial? So I guess, you know.
you choose to say all your controversial things in person.
Yes, that's correct. Well, not everything, but not everything. But I make sure it's the right person, though.
The Duke is very famous for when he has something funny to say, putting his hand over his mouth and leaning in to tell you something funny, and then you laugh and then move on. Now I was shuffling through the cards and I found this one, and I know I said that was the last one was going to be the last one, but I found this one here, and I feel like this is going to be one that you're going to enjoy.
All right.
If you were a villain or a criminal mastermind, what would be your calling card?
My calling card? Like my backstory?
So, like, remember in Home Alone, the wet bandits, right? The guys robbing that, they would turn the turn on the faucet when they left. Like, that was their calling card. Like, that showed that, like, it was signature. Them. Okay. Yeah, your signature thing. If you were an evil criminal mastermind or supervillain, what would be your calling card?
I think, what's something a duke would have?
Like a
duke's royal crest or something, huh?
I mean, you got dukes, you got mayonnaise, or you have like a king, or you could leave a jar of Duke's mayonnaise at every.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's what I'd do.
Hey, Duke, look, who's here?
Might have robbed you or stole stuff, but hey, you got a jar of mayonnaise.
Yeah, got a Duke's jar of mayonnaise. You ever watch that when they play the bowl game, the Duke's mayonnaise bowl? And the winning coach, they dump a bunch of mayonnaise all over him.
I unfortunately have seen that.
In the South, Duke's mayonnaise is where it's at.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, the pod decks are always an interesting thing. At times, very very random, but again, that's part of the fun of the show. So, Dan, as we wrap things up here, come on in, Mrs. Winkler. Hey, we have Mrs. Winkler here subbing for us today. She's gonna walk by the camera and wave to the people on the way to her desk. All right, wave to the people, Mrs. Winkler. There you go. As we kind of wrap it up at the end here, any other topics you'd like to bring up, or anything else you want to discuss with our listening audience before we say goodbye?
I mean, I could do a ton, but there's one I would want to talk about. Favorite dinosaur. We'll go with that.
Okay. You want me to go first, or you want
to go first? You go first.
So. I mean, there's it can only be boiled down to two. Okay. Two at the top, right? And Jurassic Park made them both famous. The Velociraptor, T-Rex.
All right, I hate to bust a bunch of people's bubbles, but a Velociraptor in Jurassic Park is not actually what a Velociraptor would look like. It's actually, they really modeled probably Deinonychus for the Jurassic Park raptors and called them Velociraptors. I don't know why they didn't just say Deinonychus, but Velociraptor was actually like kind of like a roided out chicken. It was like maybe 2 feet tall. I mean, sorry guys. Actually, I'm not sorry. Anyway, but I mean, yeah, T-Rex is obviously, you know, can't go wrong with T-Rex.
The king.
I mean, it's, yeah. My favorite personally is, because I don't know, I don't want to pick T-Rex, is Giganotosaurus, which actually might be slightly larger, at least by length. It's another giant theropod. Those are the big meat eaters. Although I will concede that T-Rex would probably destroy Giganotosaurus in a fight.
Yeah, I mean, quick Google search of the Giganotosaurus. To the untrained eye, or the uninformed eye, I would say that somebody would look at this and say, a T-Rex. Oh, look, there is an 11-minute video here on YouTube talking about the Giganotosaurus versus the T-Rex, which was the most dominant. Talks about everything, right? Wild Sensias is the YouTube channel.
So, I mean, a T-Rex, it comes down to the bite, right? I mean, because that's what the main, I mean, the both their arms, I mean, Giganotosaurus has much bigger arms than T-Rex, but with how big of an animal it is, it wouldn't be much of a factor. in the fight. A Giganotosaurus has a V-shaped jaw, meaning there's a lot less room for muscle attachments, and it just has a weaker bite. It's got sharper teeth, just more slash damage, but I mean, a T-Rex is just devastating, bone-crushing bite, so I mean, it would be Giganotosaurus most of the times, I would think.
Most times. I mean, this right here says a bite force of 6,000 newtons on the Giganotosaurus.
I mean, that's strong, but look up T-Rex.
Right, okay, let's see. We can look and see what we got here. Anywhere from 9,300 to 30,000 pounds. Top speed of 31 miles an hour. There's even directions here on how to kill a Giganotosaurus. I don't know where that comes from.
They're dead.
Yeah, they're already dead. Very, very interesting. Mr. Del Duca, you're giving me some ideas here. We may need to do another podcast, and maybe this is what we bring in Corey Baker on, a dinosaur draft podcast where we draft our top dinosaur teams.
That is a great idea. Like, because for many of the viewers, you've seen the shark draft. We should a dinosaur draft is a fantastic idea.
We can make that happen.
Yeah.
Do we include Corey? Or do we bring in that, you know, jabroni Charles Munson who drafted a terrible shark team?
I mean, I wish I could draft both, but if I had to, I mean,
we could do both. We could.
I would want to do that.
We'll set that up. Stay tuned for the dinosaur draft podcast coming soon. All right, Mr. Del Duca, won't keep much more of your time. We got to get you back to class. Do you have any sort of social media that people can follow you if they want to keep up with what you're doing here on this social media?
Yeah, I mean, I have Snapchat. That's it. I'm too lazy to have an Instagram, so I don't know. I just never bothered downloading it. So not really.
Not really. If they know you, they'll have your Snap code. If not,
that's right.
If not over there. So you're not a big social media guy. Well, Mr. Del Duca, you're one of our pillar kids, right? So you talk about individuals that help make a program be successful. And you are definitely one of those guys for us. You've been since you were in middle school coming up here and working hard. You are an example that I point to all the time. It's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. We'll definitely do some more. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to spend some more time with you before you head off to Michigan in the fall. Thank you for being on. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
We're out. Thanks for listening to the Iron Dread Podcast. Please note that all views and opinions expressed in this podcast are the sole views of the individuals stating the opinions and not the views of the Dexter Community Schools. Also, please note that all music used in this production of this show is the sole property of the artists and recording labels from which the music came.